Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
.1204 in St. Louis, Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, InsideSTL.com, Charlie Marlowe, Chris Gardner, David Solomon, Martin Kilcoyne out for the day. He will be back tomorrow on a day, Chris Gardner, where you got a lot going on. The latest on Giancarlo Stanton, it seems like every day, every hour, a new report. I feel like we're still kind of waiting to see if he'll approve a deal to either the Cardinals or the Giants. What's going on with the Dodgers? You have the college football playoff. I was at the Big Ten championship game. So normally on a day, especially a Monday after a big sports weekend, you could lead with either of those stories.
Right.
But there's another story that really piqued my interest personally. I don't know about everybody else, but somebody's back as a head coach in the National Football League. Spags is back. We predicted this. When you saw all the losing with the Giants, Ben McAdoo, things were going south. We even said, I think like a month ago, you knew this was going to happen. They were going to be really bad, and all of a sudden Spags gets that interim tag. I was thinking maybe 5-6 games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 4 games. He has a 4-game opportunity. I looked at the schedule. Cowboys, a very good Eagles team, even though they lost last night, Cardinals and Redskins. We need a 4-0 finish or a 3-1 finish for Spags to rally the troops and get that interim tag then lifted to become the head football coach of the New York football Giants.
Hunchback of Vaughn Castle has already texted in. 855-282-8255. Happy Spags Day. It's not Flag Day. It's Spags Day. So come hang with us here in the studio. Charlie Marlowe, David Solomon, Chris Gardner. You know, just three Spags hags sitting here around. I can say that. I live in the West End. So, like, we just hanging in the studio, celebrating the return of Steve Spagnuolo. I got to tell you, about an hour ago, I saw the news that Ben McAdoo said he was fired. Your response as a normal human probably should be a little more empathy than I had, or sympathy, both.
But he probably gets, like, what, a buyout of...
Yeah.
$6-7 million. I haven't looked it up, but all these guys get paid.
A person loses their job, and I'm like, you know, my interest is piqued for a moment because I'm like, oh, Spags. And then I see that Jerry Reese and Steve Spagnuolo were also, like, seen walking in the building, and I guess into the offices of the Maras or whatnot. Then I see Jerry Reese is fired, and I'm like, oh, no. Because I'm thinking, all right, there's one of two options now for Steve Spagnuolo. There's no middle ground. It's either he's the new interim head coach or he's being let go as well. And then about 15 minutes after that, the report started coming in that he is the interim head coach of the New York football Giants. And I was screaming here in the studio. Rocchio and I were just excited about it.
And so you guys went right to the old editing machine. And Chris Gardner, if you listen to the show, you know he's a maestro and a magician with audio and clips. So even though he only had about an hour notice, I knew he was going to be getting to work to put together a nice little tribute. Is that the right word?
It's a tribute in some ways because it looks back on some of Spag's finer moments at the podium or behind the mic, but also, you know, kind of welcoming Spags back as a head coach, interim basis, of course, but welcome him back as a head coach in the NFL. And we got this done in about a half hour. We said, let's do something. This is too big to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
We might be pushing it right up into the deadline, and we were. I completed the editing process 3 minutes before the show. But welcome back, Steve Spagnuolo.
I want to make one point that I think is a good example of what our football team is all about, and that was on the 53-yard run that Beanie Wells
had in the fourth quarter. You saw there that Quentin Michael made a tremendous effort to get him on the ground. But the never say never, the never die, the always fight.
Guess who's back? Back again. Spags is back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Spags is back. Spags is back. Spags is back. Spags is back. Spags is back.
Faith, character, core values, and team first. Those would be the four pillars.
Yes.
There it is.
Well done.
Welcome back, Spags.
He's back. Four games to prove himself once again.
Congratulations to Maria as well. We think Reggie's in Los Angeles now, but maybe they could reunite. Maybe he could be on loan. Don't they do that in like the Premier League or something? They put players on loan. Can you put trainers on loan in the NFL? That should be done in this instance to have, you know, Spags and Reggie together.
If the Giants happen to have a Monday night or a Saturday or Thursday game, they have to just, if nothing else, bring Reggie back to be a special sideline guest or something. I just can't see how Spags can function without Reggie.
And what I think we need to start doing here at the station is negotiating the rights, at least, to the Monday news conferences involving Spags, because I think that would be a must-hear radio at this time.
So I was checking Twitter after this happens, and I promise you people, we'll get to the big stories of the day also. Just having a little fun with what we think is maybe the biggest story. But I enjoyed this tweet from Andrew Hawkins, former wide receiver. I think he now does radio, but when the news came out, he quote tweeted the news saying Giants will have Steve Spagnuolo take over as head coach and Kevin Abrams as GM the rest of the way. So Andrew Hawkins, this former NFL wide receiver, was on the Rams for a minute, and this was during the Spags tenure, and he tweets out this. Steve Spagnuolo was my coach for one day. He said one thing to me, quote, "Hey, tuck your damn shirt in." And then he cut me after that one day. And Andrew Hawkins says, "Has nothing to do with anything. I'm just still kind of salty. LOL," put a little emoji type face there. But isn't that also, from what we know from Spags, isn't that so Spagsian to basically look at the kid and his shirt is untucked and that's what he's focused on?
If you know there's a uniform code, you should probably abide by it. I mean, we all like to rebel at times or challenge authority. If it's going to cost you a job, you know that could be part of it. So just tuck your damn shirt in. Listen to Spags. Let him guide you. Let him guide. Now, what about the pictures around Giants headquarters and that? Is he going to take all those down?
But he was there for a lot of the glory years. So he'd be taking down pictures of himself potentially when he's there as the DC for a Super Bowl champion team.
There is a quandary. I mean, he has to decide if he needs to take even himself and his legacy away. At least on the picture, with the pictures on the walls.
So that's the Spags news there. Want to, of course, normally do the five for Frank, Martin and Frank, brought to you by Rankin Jordan. Again, Martin out today. We'll be back tomorrow, but Rankin Jordan, such a fine bridge hospital. So we have college football playoff. We have the Giancarlo Stanton latest. Dealer's choice. Where should we go to first?
Let's start with the college football playoff because you were at the Big Ten title game.
I was. And I said beforehand, and just so everybody knows, I think people know if you listen, I'm an Ohio State fan. I try to be reasonable, though. I said before the game, leading up to it all week, I said I think Ohio State needs to win by about four touchdowns and just be completely dominant the entire game to have a chance to then jump Alabama and get in the college football playoff. And the game was 27-21. The Ohio State defense actually played really well. And Wisconsin, I mean, they scored 18 points off turnovers. JT Barrett throws a pick six. So even though I would have loved to see Ohio State in the college football playoff, I actually think that Alabama is a better football team this year than Ohio State. And I think a lot of things go into that. One of them, though, to me, is also the eye test. And I understand you can throw out 31-point loss to Iowa, and that's just a pockmark on the resume. Going back to last year, when Ohio State got the benefit of the doubt, and they were put in the college football playoff instead of Penn State, and what happened? They got absolutely housed by Clemson, 31-zip. Now, I know that's not supposed to technically factor in, but you can't forget that. It's the same team, basically. Do you know what I'm saying? In the same sense that Alabama is returning much of the same team, same quarterback. And that was a team last year that won a playoff game and then advanced and played a really close game versus Clemson. So I'm actually fine with Ohio State not being in this year because I think they received the benefit of the doubt last year. And I always like to put it like this, because everybody has their own personal biases. Money is unbiased. And I just think to myself, if I had to bet, if I was forced to bet money on Ohio State or Alabama this year, where would I bet my money? And I have to say I'd bet it on Alabama. Ohio State has a fifth-year quarterback in JT Barrett that you still just don't trust in the biggest of games. And when it comes down to quarterback play, again, they had the opportunity on Saturday. If he doesn't throw that pick six early, that could have been a 28-3 game. That could have been a 27-6 game. And it wasn't. And they were sloppy with the ball. So I watched that team and I say, you know what? I don't think they're better than Alabama. Even if you look at the resume and you can critique each team's resumes. To me, also, it comes down to the eye test. And I think Alabama has earned the benefit of the doubt going back the last 3-4 years. Nick Saban and JT Barrett and this particular Ohio State team has not.
Now, who was it you were going back and forth with on Twitter? Was it Chris Raby of KMOX? Was he saying that there was was there absolutely no doubt Bama was in? I think he kind of maybe took that angle.
But I think my point is that it was more of a toss-up, I think, than people thought. And I don't know what it actually came down to percentage-wise with the committee, but when everybody said, oh, there's no chance that Ohio State should get in, I thought it was more of a, I don't want to say 50-50, but maybe 55-45, 60-40.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, even though everything I just said about Ohio State just eye test not being as good as Alabama this year, I think when you look at the resumes, Ohio State does have three better wins than Alabama's best win. I also think the fact that the Big Ten plays 9 conference games, just like the Big 12, just like the Pac-12. And I think moving forward, for the fairness of all conferences, I do think all Power 5 schools should probably go to playing 9 league games. It's better for your schedule. And also the fact that the Big Ten does not play FCS teams. And that's something where I think that's more fair across the board. I don't care if you're an SEC fan, Big Ten fan, ACC fan, because moving forward the next 2-3 years, we're going to have a lot of arguments like this. And I think it's more of a fair debate if the schedules are closer to being similar, even though we all know that the SEC and the SEC West is the best division. You know, the Big Ten East is a very good division. They're much better than their other divisions in their conferences. But I think across the board, it would be more fair if everybody went to 9 league games in Power 5s and did not play FCS opponents.
Look, was it Mercer that was on Bama's schedule?
Yes.
I mean, Mercer might pull an upset in the first round in the NCAA tournament. They're probably not going to be beating an SEC team. So I think what might have been learned, at least from a school like Alabama, is to avoid this discussion. We know what we have to do scheduling-wise. Whether or not they take to that advice is another thing. But they're well aware that if this situation were to come up again, similar scenario, I doubt it would be exact, that it might not be the same call. You know, if the one, let's add one different thing to the equation, and that being what almost happened in the Big Ten championship game, which Ohio State, you know, jumping out to a 28-3 lead and then coasting from there. That happens instead of what happened this year. Then what's the decision? What you know, so to take yourself out of that conversation, you know you have to schedule better if you're Alabama or an SEC school. So you can't complain about that from here on out. You know that, you know what the issue is, and you can address it yourself and take it out of the hands of the committee when the discussion, the main discussion being, I mean, look, Alabama was number one the majority of the season. It came down until they played Auburn in the Iron Bowl, their last regular season game until they weren't. But when you know the only blemish that people are going to point at is that, you know, Mercer type opponent, then just take it out of the equation. You can beat lower level teams, even in Power 5 conferences, most likely you could schedule. I mean, a Boston College, or you know,
the Mac, Rutgers, Mac schools,
Rutgers, yeah.
How about Troy? You schedule games like that. Now look, Troy goes and beats LSU this year, but I just think across the board, it's more fair if all the Power 5 conferences are going to be compared like this. If their schedules were similar. And I also think, with Alabama, I'm acknowledging the fact that they scheduled a big-time opponent this year in Florida State. Opening week of the season.
Yeah.
Florida State at that time had DeAndre Francois. I believe they were a top five team.
Thought number three at
yes.
the time. I'm not sure, though.
And Florida State finishes the season 6-6. So that win by Alabama had much less value than we all anticipated entering the season. I mean, there's not a lot of schools that would schedule a neutral site game versus Florida State. So in that standpoint, too, Alabama gets unlucky because their big game that they think down the road they'll get a lot of points for in terms of their strength of schedule didn't have that value. But also, don't tell me that opening week of the season when Florida State still has everything to play for, they have DeAndre Francois healthy for, I believe, the first 2.5 quarters of that game. Don't tell me that's the same 6-6 Florida State team. That's still a Florida State team entering the season top five with a great quarterback with everything to play for.
Right. And then I guess part of that argument included that Alabama not only knocked out Francois, but two significant offensive linemen as well. So I guess the injury excuse was being thrown about there. And I think for you, because I saw some people throwing shade your way, it's not as though you were advocating for Ohio State to be in the Final Four. So I never understood when people were coming at you and saying, oh, you're Ohio State homer or whatnot. You were simply making a case for them and why it's, you know, not a foregone conclusion that Bama is in, which I don't think any – I mean, the committee had a long discussion about it. So to just say it was a foregone conclusion, I think, was a misnomer. But now, the unfair part is what you had to go through at the game itself. There's no beer sales at the Big Ten Championship game?
That's ridiculous, by the way. I don't know who makes these rules. I went to the Ohio State-Clemson game last year in Glendale, and I'm pretty sure they sold alcohol. I feel like I would have remembered if they didn't. But just walking into Lucas Oil, a professional football NFL stadium, I was shocked that they did not serve alcohol, and I was very disappointed. Watching that game, though, it was kind of interesting because as Ohio State wins and people are leaving the game, there is this very bittersweet, melancholy feeling where you weren't really even excited about the win because you knew it wasn't enough to get in the college football playoff. And I have to say, at the end there, I just a little part of me thought, as a person who also, you know, supports the Big Ten, I don't want to say I'm anti-SEC, but, you know, there's a rivalry there. And I thought to myself, when that game was 27-21 late, I knew Ohio State was not going to get in the college football playoff. I thought to myself, you know, would it be okay if Wisconsin comes back, wins this game by a point, they get in, and they knock Bama out?
Whoa.
It's just one of those weird situations because I love my Buckeyes.
How long did you think this?
I just kind of sat there and I'm like, you know what? If they're not going to get in anyway, wouldn't you rather see Wisco get in and knocking out Alabama?
You know what I can appreciate about that line of thinking is that it's not about, you know, who you root for or your team at that
point. It's selfless.
It's spite. And spite is such a powerful and motivating emotion. And I embrace it. I embrace it wholeheartedly. So I like that line of thinking because it's conniving. It's evil in a way. Because it's not about you anymore. It's about
not them.
Yes. It's about others' misery. You want someone else to suffer the misery that you
are having. But also, Wisconsin fans, be happy for them. And how about they advance? You go to any SEC football game, basketball tournament, and they're chanting, SEC, SEC. They're proud of their conference.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, don't you have a little bit of Big Ten pride? Wouldn't you like to see one of your member schools in the college football playoff, even though deep down you probably think they'd get absolutely throttled by Clemson just like Ohio State did last year?
I don't know if I'd go that far, for me personally. But I would go as far as to spite someone or spite another. So that's where I definitely am on board with your line of thinking. Even if it was just for a moment, Charlie, the fact that it would even,
it was fleeting,
you know, pop up in the mind there and you at least dwelled on it for a moment. Now, if you would have had alcohol involved too, I wonder if you, would it have been there?
Well, we had a lot of alcohol before the game.
Okay.
And,
did you sneak some in?
No, but one of our buddies did. I guess he saw this coming. I wish he would have told us this. He had some little
airline bottles. How do you not tell someone?
Bottles. I think he was just assuming. But no, after the game, I'm at a bar in Indianapolis, and you're sitting there. I was in the restroom, using the restroom. There's a Wisconsin fan. He's like, "Yeah, thanks a lot. You guys screwed the Big Ten." I mean, he was half kidding, but it's true. It's kind of funny when you look back at it, because Alabama, by losing to Auburn, helps the SEC get two teams in. And then on the other side of the coin, Ohio State, by beating Wisconsin, screws the Big Ten, and they get zero teams in. Because all that had to happen was, if Alabama wins the Iron Bowl, right?
Yeah.
They knock Auburn out of the conversation. Alabama then advances to the SEC championship game. And if Alabama beats Georgia, all of a sudden your college football playoff four teams, Clemson, Oklahoma, or Alabama, whichever way you want to go there. Alabama would be number one.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State would slide in with two losses at number four.
The problem would have been if Georgia did beat Alabama in that game. Then you definitely have...
And Bama still gets in.
Then there was no discussion at all if Bama's in or not. Bama would be in and Georgia would be too.
But I find it interesting too. You mentioned the fan who says that Ohio State screwed the Big Ten. What's worse, not having a team in at all, or having a team get in that maybe shouldn't be there but gets exposed on the big stage, getting blown out 38-0 because
like
they've
Penn State?
Yeah. Or maybe
like Ohio State,
Or like a Wisconsin team that, you know, took advantage of an easy schedule, but Ohio State pretty much exposed in the Big Ten title game. So if they had somehow found a fluke to get in, would that almost be worse to say, "Oh, we told you so, the Big Ten is just a pretender"?
I think there's probably monetary value to be
involved. Oh, there's definite monetary value.
Now, as personal pride as a fan, yeah, that's probably when you get your ass kicked. There's nothing pleasant about that.
Exactly.
I want to tell you about the Prohibition Repeal Party, December 5th. That is tomorrow. Marks 84 years of the Prohibition repeal. Join Budweiser and 590 The Fan at Filoni's for a celebration of the repeal, starting at 7 in the morning. The morning after, we'll be broadcasting live from Filoni's. They'll be opening early to serve breakfast for all the listeners. 590 The Fan will continue broadcasting live throughout the day and will be handing out great prizes, such as 5 different ticket packs for the 2018 St. Louis Cardinals season. Also, the first 100 listeners that bring an unwrapped toy or cash donation for Friends of Kids with Cancer can purchase the limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager that day at Filoni's. Again, this is tomorrow for the price it cost in 1933, just 10 cents. Join 590 The Fan and Anheuser-Busch at the Budweiser Repeal Party at Filoni's on December 5th. That is tomorrow, starting at 7 in the morning. We're going to talk a lot of Stanton coming up. We have the Grinder.
Got some text, too.
Got some text to read. All coming up on the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.